It's still prescribed to me. It's in the car. I still have to wear it. But a year and a half ago, I had a pulmonary function test, and the first one I passed in 15 years. And so my doctor said, you wear it whenever it's low, and you don't have to wear it when it's not. And I just went to the pulmonologist the other week, and it was low again, and they issued me a new machine. But I kind of like preaching without it, so I'm going to keep doing it. And God's blessed me. I've been able to fill in at a church now for the past year and a half. And I tell you, God's just been good to us. And I did not know I had been mispronouncing Chucky's name all these years. I declare, I thought it was Rivers. I did not know it was Revere. I didn't know. Chucky Revere. Yeah, the British are coming. Yeah. That's the way to do it, Chucky. Be a leader, man. That's right. Be a leader. All right. We got our mom with us here today, and I tell you, she'll be 80 this October, and she still shows me her muscle all the time, and she stays active, working in her yard, and working so much that somebody called us one evening and said, your mama's down on her hands and knees in the yard picking up sticks, and it was 9:30 at night. So you pray for my mother. You got to take a rest sometime. And then Debbie and I are grandparents at last. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. Praise the Lord. I had been in the hospital for a week. I had been in there twice over a two-week period. And they found that I got a rare liver disease. It's called PBC. And it's pretty devastating. And I'd been in the hospital all week and had drove back from Charleston. And my son and daughter-in-law were at the house, and I thought, y'all could have waited till tomorrow to come see you, you know. But they came in bearing gifts, and they gave me a book. It said Gramps on it. And I tell you, I've been feeling better ever since. You know, sometimes I have to hide, Brother David, so that my grandboy pay my wife and daughter attention. No joke. That's just... He locks eyes on me. I tell David it's because I got a big head. And he grabs on my oxygen hose and tries to chew on it and stuff. I tell her he thinks it's a balloon, you know. But God's been good to us. Never, ever imagined. We celebrated 35 years of marriage. I've been disabled since I was 41. I'll be 58 in December. How can anybody complain about how good God is? Amen. Having said that, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. I'm going to try to preach fast. I always try to preach fast. It ends up being slow. But I just tell you, preacher's already given that great introduction about, y'all don't care about time. Right. Don't care about it a bit. So I don't have a watch. That ought to make you more nervous than the fact that I'm not wearing oxygen. Yeah. So Jonah chapter 4, if you'll stand this morning, honor the reading of God's word. Been looking forward to this and being able to preach here at Liberty. Always a favorite of ours, and we miss you folks, and it's so good to see you. But the word of God said this morning in Jonah chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And the Bible says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? When I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I know that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life for me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Notice the words of Jonah. Man, you're talking about a man with a backbone. He was rebellious. He didn't want to do God's will all the time, but he wasn't afraid to tell the Lord. I don't know about you. There's a lot of things I'm afraid to say to the Lord. But notice what Jonah said. So Jonah went out, he said, therefore, now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons? Notice this phrase, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. If God will bless the reading of his word this morning, I'm going to preach to you on the silence of Jonah. The silence of Jonah. Jonah was a great preacher, a great prophet, a great man of God. Jonah had a lot of things to say. Like I said, he had a backbone. God said, are you right in being mad at me? And Jonah said, yeah, Lord, I am. I'm telling you, I don't have that kind of backbone. But God pointed a question in Jonah's direction that took the words right out of his mouth. You never hear another word from Jonah for the rest of the Bible. Doest thou well to be angry? Yeah, Lord, I'm right in being mad. Should I not save the lost? Come on. The silence of Jonah. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Dear Father God, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We look to your word for wisdom. Help us today as only you can, and we'll be thankful in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Can I say to you, that there is a measure of uncertainty in everyone's lives. Sooner or later, the comfort that you enjoy today is going to wither and pass away. Nothing in this life lasts forever. Amen. Can I say to you that trees get old and they die. People get old and they die. Houses get old and they fall apart. We enjoy the comforts of this life. Praise God that he gives them. But don't you hang your faith on comfort, because comfort will not last. Amen. Amen. The prophet Jonah realized that some things have changed in his life. When God said to Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh and preach to those people, Jonah said to God, I don't want to go preach to them, because I know that you have compassion for the lost. I know that you will save them from their sins. I don't like the Ninevites, is what Jonah was saying. God, I don't like them. Maybe you ought not like them either.
Come on.
So Jonah fled unto Tarshish, and we know the story well. Man, when Jonah fled to Tarshish, a great storm came. God rocked the boat. They threw Jonah over, and a great fish was prepared and swallowed Jonah, I believe, before he ever hit the water. There's some things that changed in the life of Jonah. Comfort was gone, amen? No comfort in Jonah's life once they chunked him overboard. Notice the first thing I see in his circumstance is there's a lot of darkness. You know what? If you lived in complete darkness, I don't know how you would ever have any hope. Jonah was a man that knew what God was capable of. He knew the blessings of God. He was a part of the children of Israel. He knew he was a part of God's chosen people. He knew that there was a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land that the enemies could not conquer. Can I say to you, Jonah knew the blessings of God, but in this circumstance, he's in darkness. He couldn't even get enough illumination to gain a sense of perspective. Then I see that there's also digestion. God didn't stop the natural orders of things because Jonah was disobedient. Whatever goes in a fish's mouth gets digested. Even a hook. If you break a hook off in a fish's mouth, that fish will digest that hook. That's because God put powerful enzymes in the gastric juices of that fish's belly. Whatever reaches its belly will be digested. Jonah stayed 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish, and that fish was trying his best to digest that great preacher. Then I see a lot of desperation that I can imagine about the circumstance Jonah was in screams desperation.
Amen. Amen.
There's no comfort. There's no peace. There's no time out. There's no time to take a deep breath and reexamine the situation. No, those gastric juices are trying to digest him. He's in utter darkness, and he is desperate. The Bible says he cried out to God out of the reason of his affliction because he wanted life. And God delivered him. And Jonah, obedient to God, went unto Nineveh and began to preach the good news of God's love and grace. And can I say to you, the Ninevites did what many of us have done. We heard the call of the Holy Spirit of God pointing us to Calvary's cross, and they fell upon their knees, and God forgave them.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
And once he did, Jonah became angry. The Bible says he was angry to the point of death. Well, Greg, if he wanted to die, he should have stayed in the fish's belly.
Come on.
Right? He was in a place that death was imminent.
Go ahead.
But whenever he was faced with death from his own circumstance, he said, God, save me, give me life. But when God saved others and he gave others life, Jonah said, you might as well kill me. Because you see, Jonah found out that he had hatred in his heart. So here we find that Jonah climbs a hill on the east side of the city of Nineveh. For the only purpose, he didn't want to fellowship with them. He wanted to observe them. He wanted to see how gracious God was going to be to them in their transformation. For the system of God's judgment never changes. Those that he saves, he completely transforms. So now the Ninevites are on their knees, and God is transforming them into children of God, the people of God. They have put away their sin even to the point of sackcloth and ashes. And now they are worshiping God, and Jonah is observing. And the Bible says the sun come out upon Jonah's head. And God, in his great mercy, made a gourd to grow and give him shade from the sun. And the Bible said, even though he was angry that God saved the Ninevites, he was happy that God sent a gourd. Because that gourd gave him comfort from the sun. So he's sitting there thinking, yeah, God's being good to them, but look how good God's being to me. You know what? There's a lot of us with that gourd of comfort over us today. Man, we stick our chest out. We poke our chin up. We're happy. We're conceited. Why? Because we live in comfort.
Come on.
of the gourd. There's still danger out there. There's still sin out there. There's still a devil out there that hates you. But God has put a hedge of protection in your life. And you're sitting on the side looking and observing at others saying, man, ain't God good to me. But the same man had hatred in his heart. How many of you this morning have things hidden in your heart, but God's still being good to you? So God sent a worm that devoured the gourd. Oh, my goodness. We forget we serve a God who giveth and taketh away. He don't owe us an explanation for nothing. He don't owe us an answer. Jonah is enjoying this gourd saying, man, God's so good to me. Maybe he don't know what's in my heart. Maybe he don't really know why I'm angry. Maybe he just thinks that I'm having flashbacks from that fish's belly. Whatever his reason was, he is happy God sent the gourd, but then God sent the worm. And the worm devoured the gourd. So the pleasure was short-lived, and a severe problem replaced it. You see, the Bible says God sent an east wind, a strong east wind. And that strong east wind is the same east wind that is mentioned several times in Scripture as a wind that God uses to let us know how involved he is in our life. You see, whenever Moses said to Pharaoh, God said, let my people go, Pharaoh said, no. And Moses told God. And God sent a strong east wind and blew locusts into the land of Egypt and made them miserable, ate up all the crops, destroyed everything. When the enemy was on their heels and they made it to the Red Sea and there's a body of water they can't pass, the enemy's behind them and obstacles before them. The Bible said God, when Moses stretched forth that rod, sent a strong east wind and parted the waters. If you want to know how involved God is in your life, look to the east from where the wind blows. You see, the wind blows in the power of God and things change. In this circumstance, God wanted Jonah to know how involved he was in his life. The Bible says that he blew that wind in and caused the sun to beat upon his head to the point that he fainted. His head was defenseless to the sun. And now he's fainted. Can I say to you today, do we always know when God's dealing with us? Do we chalk it up and blame others? Do we chalk it up and blame the government? Do we blame senators and congressmen and the wicked people of this world? Do we blame everybody when our circumstances change? Or do we ever consider, where'd that wind come from? What just blew in here and changed my life? What just blew in here and made me so weak I can't even sit up? The Bible says he fainted. And do you know something? God put Jonah where he wanted Jonah so that he could teach him something life wasn't teaching. So we see a spiritual point. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? Jonah's perfectly honest. He's not fabricating truth. He's honest with God. We ought to be honest with God. He knows the intent of our heart before we ever speak a word. Jonah was honest. Jonah said, I do well to be angry. But you see, the worm that destroyed the gourd destroyed his comfort, and it wasn't random. And the spiritual point that we see here is that sometimes God takes away what makes us comfortable in order to confront what makes us carnal.
Come on.
What makes us carnal? You know, carnality is opposite from spirituality.
Amen. Amen.
What makes you spiritual? Faith. Faith makes you spiritual. A lack of faith makes you carnal. We were born in sin, shaping in iniquity, bound for a devil's hell, except for Jesus stepped in and redeemed us unto himself. And he did that through our faith. So God blew in an east wind, and it revealed what was already in Jonah's heart. And what was in his heart was hatred for the Ninevites. God revealed to Jonah that he was more concerned over the gourd of his own comfort than the salvation of a lost city. You ever feel that wind blow in? That wind blows in. God's changing your perception, your perspective. That wind blows in, and all the comfort God had given you and you enjoyed and you stood and sang, how great is our God. Now that comfort is blown away. That sun is beating upon your life. You become faint. And God is revealing the things that have made you carnal. The things that you care about and the things that you don't. I want you to know, when you see Jonah in chapter 4, you see a man with a staggering faith. That's not the faith that moves mountains. That's not the faith that prays for souls to be saved. That is a staggering faith. It is unsteady. Jonah is still a man of God, but his faith is wavering. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because faith in God will end your own self-interest. It will. You put your faith and trust in God, you know what? You'll care less about what you want and more about what God wants. And if you find yourself caring more about what you want and less about what God wants, then your faith is staggering and you're not who you think that you are. You see, Jonah was more concerned about a plant than he was people. Now you listen to me this morning. We said he valued the personal comfort over eternal souls. And I believe it's because his anger and selfishness was unspiritual. Preacher Tim, we live in a world where people will cry over broke cell phones.
Come on.
But won't cry over a broken home. We live in a world where people will pity soulless animals. And I love my pets, but they ain't got no soul. They ain't going to a heaven or hell. They care more about soulless animals than they do unborn children. I believe, like Jonah, our compassion sometimes is misconstrued. So I want to ask you this morning, what are you more upset about? The loss of comfort or lost souls? It's liable to get 100 degrees this week and your air conditioning might quit. Gonna make you angry? Or will you take the loss of comfort and say, you know what, if I get a chance to tell somebody about Jesus, that's what I'm going to do. Hang with me, I'm going somewhere. Last of all, we see a silence in position. The Bible says, thou hast had pity on the gourd, and should not I spare Nineveh, wherein are more than 60,000 persons. That's 120,000. Notice, that's not the population of the city. God said that's the population of those in the city that don't know their left hand from their right hand. Who's he talking about? Tony, how old are you? When did you first realize you had a left hand and right hand? Let's just say it's been a long time ago. He's talking about children. Wow. He's talking about babies. He's talking about those that have not the intellect to know their left from the right. And I don't know if you realize it, Jonah forgot it. God loves children. And I believe it breaks his heart whenever we abort them, whenever we let them live in squalor. I believe it breaks the heart of God when we don't train them up in the way they should go. Amen. So that they'll grow to be men and women that love him. Amen. He said there's 120,000 children in Nineveh. And you might not understand it, Jonah, but I love them. So he gives to Jonah the argument of his sovereignty. Should not I spare Nineveh? In other words, hey, big boy, I'm God. And you aren't.
Amen.
I don't owe you an explanation. You owe me an explanation.
Amen.
It's time, Jonah, you quit questioning me and realize I'm questioning you. Should not I be God? Should I not act like God? Should I not make the decisions that only God can make? And there's Jonah with his mouth open. Because sometimes you need to hear what only God will tell you. And then we see the argument of pity. Do you realize the people of Nineveh were probably spared because of the innocence of children? I've heard Preacher Tim say this a bunch. I tell people Preacher Tim says it a bunch. You better be glad he's not God. You feel the same way? Because our anger rises up, we would...
Amen.
But we're not, and he is.
Amen.
And you don't know the fact that God's been so merciful and so good to you because of children in your home and in your life. You know what, grandparents, I found out? God wants you to be a good example.
Amen.
He does.
Amen.
God wants you to fear him to the point that you are afraid not to be a good example in front of your grandchildren. I've seen grandmas quit smoking because grandbabies was born. I've seen granddaddies quit drinking because grandbabies was born. I've seen people start living right and serving God because he brought children into their home. When the whole time what you deserve is judgment.
Amen.
But because of those little children, God's been merciful.
Wow.
And this argument silenced Jonah. You see, until this point, Jonah had controversy with God. Until this point, when God said, Jonah, are you in the right being angry? Jonah said, I am. I'm so mad I'd rather die than watch those Ninevites on their knees praying to you. They don't deserve it. They won't appreciate it. And God, they're not your chosen people. But man, God silenced Jonah. And we never hear another word come out of his mouth. So let me ask you a question this morning. Do you find yourself, your days filled with controversy with God? You find yourself arguing with God sometimes? Maybe not with the boldness Jonah had, but do you find yourself finding fault in what God is doing? Let him take some things from your life. What I'm asking you this morning, have you got with God and let him silence your arguments? Because he loves lost people. I came to urge you this morning, don't keep the controversy going. Yield to him. Realize God is God. He don't owe us nothing. If he sends a gourd and it keeps the sun off your head, praise him. If he takes the gourd away, he's still God.
Amen.
And souls are still dying without Jesus and going to hell. And if we want to be pleasing to God, if we want to have faith that is strong and not staggering, then we got to quit worrying about what bothers us. We got to quit worrying about our self-interest. And we got to get back to what the main thing is, and that's God saving sinners.
Amen.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up,
that's
where your job ends. You lift up Jesus. He said, I'll draw them to me.
Right.
You just lift him up. And I'm here to tell you, when you're shaking your fist in traffic, you're not lifting him up.
Come on.
When you're blessing out the checkout cashier, you're not lifting him up.
Come on.
When you're being mean to your children and selfish, you're not lifting him up.
Preach on.
Alfred the Great was the king of Wessex, England. He's best known for defeating the Vikings at the Battle of Edington in 878 AD. Yet after he subdued them, he did something amazing. He loaded them with many lavish gifts. A noble in his court said to the king, why are you so kind to your enemy? And Alfred the Great said, I have subdued them with my power. Now I must win them by my love. Can I say to you, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are drawn to Christ through his great power. But through the image of Calvary's cross, we are won by his great love.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes God wants to show you the evil in your own heart that he might bring you to repentance. And once he brings you to repentance, the God I serve will give you lavish gifts to bring you comfort.
Amen.
Gifts like grace, love, and peace.
Amen.
Joy, rest, and eternal life. So someone comes with a song of invitation. I came to tell you God blesses all that he conquers. Has he conquered you? You say, preacher, I'm in church. I'm doing what I should do. That's not the question. If you look in your heart today, do you have controversy with God? Because what makes the difference in a house becoming a home is love. You love each other.
Amen.
Church is more than this building and the people in it. There's one church, and that one church is going to heaven and enjoy eternity with Jesus.
Amen.
We got to love one another for it to be a home.
Amen.
This is homecoming. Search your heart today. Don't have controversy.